I don't know about you, but the Lord changed my life. Ever since I came to know him when I was 12 years old. Hallelujah. Well, we're so glad that you're here tonight. Amen. Are you glad to be here? God's got some good things in store. I just want to bless our offering. Here at VCF, anytime during the service, you can give in the offering container in the back. Father, I just speak your word of blessing over every gift and every giver. Father, we thank you. It is a privilege to give unto you, Lord. You've given us everything. And Father, we give you a portion. And we give as the Spirit leads. We give as you provides, as you have provided, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We do it with cheer and faith. And we just trust you, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Can I have three people? I just need three people to come up front here. And just stand right here, shoulder to shoulder. And while they're coming up here, if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How many know that God wants to touch the whole person? Amen? And the whole person is made up of three components. Okay? And we'll read the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So you're going to represent the spirit, you're going to represent the soul, and you're going to represent the body. Okay? And whether you realize it or not, you're a three-part person. You know, you're like an egg. You have a yolk, a white, and a shell. All right? And so God wants to sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Now, when a person receives Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you be in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when a person receives Christ, does their outward appearance change? No. But they certainly change on the spirit. God says, I'll put a new spirit within you, and he makes you brand new. He gives you a new nature. You're a new nature with a new feature, a new creature with a new feature. Okay? Then we have the soul. All right? Now, the soul has to be renewed, okay? The spirit is made new, but then the soul has to be renewed. The soul includes your mind, your will, and your emotions, all right? And the renewal of the mind is a daily process. The spirit, the minute you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, your spirit's made new. God restores a right relationship with you. You have access to God. You can partake of the life of God. But then your soul, you have to do something with your soul every day. Okay? Now, here's the thing. As a Christian, you have to train your soul, all right? You have to train your soul to trust your spirit. Because God communicates to you through your spirit, all right? Now, the soul, before you came to Christ, it was very independent, you know. And the soul made up, you know, when it makes up its mind, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You know, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death. All right? So, we're going to talk about this process, about the mind trusting the spirit, because if you don't have these three components working together, it's going to affect your body. All right? Because your mind controls the body. Your mind is the control center. It's like the cockpit. It provides the direction. As a man thinks in his heart, you know, we're supposed to bring every thought into captivity of Christ. So, when the soul trusts the spirit, then it's going to have a positive effect on the body. All right, thank you guys. And so for the next few weeks, I want to deal with the mind of Christ. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But I want you to see that correlation. You know, God will speak to your spirit, but then your spirit's going to speak to your mind, and then your mind has to make a decision. Is it going to follow the spirit, or is it going to do what it wants to do? And, you know, that's a choice that we have to make every day. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, even though Paul was highly educated, he trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was highly intellectual, highly trained. But yet he's not relying on his training in coming to the Corinthians. Okay? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, when Paul came before a group, when he spoke in a public engagement, he wanted to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, God makes things simple and man makes things complex. How do we know that? God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, right? So he'll take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So Paul said, I only want to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is really, if you know Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's the way to salvation. So Paul brought down his message really simple. You know, when Philip went to Samaria, the Bible says in Acts that he preached Christ. That was his subject. And he changed the town. The lame walked, devils were cast out, and there was great joy in the city. So, verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not here to entice you. I'm here to give you a message, and then it's the Holy Spirit that adds the oomph to the message. It doesn't matter if I'm loud, screaming my head off, or jumping up and down. That doesn't really matter, but it's the power that God adds to it. How do you know the power there? Because a change will occur. When you connect with power, something's going to give, right? If you were to stick a metal thing into this socket, there's going to be power there and something's going to happen. You know, maybe you could do that instead of going to get a perm. You could do that. So he came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Paul's message was simple because he had faith in the power of God. He believed in the power to change. See, the message is just the way God, it's the avenue, right? Because God does everything according to his word. He created this universe according to his word. He does everything according to his word. So you just trust in his word and then the power will be there. And notice verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You know, if you have faith in my wisdom, you're going to be in trouble. But if you have faith in the power of God, God will take this message and he'll cause a transformation to occur. How do I know? Because I'm a product. I was changed by the power of God. Okay? So I want your faith to be in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, whenever the Bible uses the word perfect, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything wrong or never make a mistake. It just means mature, growing, fully developed. Okay? And I always wanted to get a t-shirt that spoke of Christianity, and I wanted it to say under construction. Because how many know that when you accept Christ, you're still under construction? And if you've arrived, then you'll probably be in heaven and not here. So since we're all here, I guess we haven't arrived yet. But you can enjoy the journey. Okay, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You know, Jesus, whenever he spoke to a crowd, he spoke in parables. And those who believed in him got to get what the parable meant. They got to get the meaning. Those who didn't believe, they were like, what are you talking about? I don't have a clue what you're saying. But if you have a heart that's hungry for truth, God will fill it. Okay? Now, you may have heard it said that God works in mysterious ways. But we're going to find out that he reveals the mystery to those who believe in him. So if he reveals the mystery to you, then it's not a mystery anymore, is it? Okay? Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. If the devil knew that Jesus was going to rise again on the third day, he'd have never crucified him, but that was hidden. And God gave the devil a surprise party. And on the third day, Jesus made a show of him openly. You can read that in Colossians. It talks about it. Okay, now let's get to the heart of where we're going tonight. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. First of all, I want you to see God's got some things prepared for you. Say, God's got some things prepared for me. And the things that God has prepared for you aren't going to come to you naturally. God is not natural, he is supernatural. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? Well, how are the things that God has prepared for you going to be made known to you? Going to be revealed to you? How are you going to find out what God has prepared for you? Look at the next verse, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The communication of God is the spirit network. And the only number you need to operate on that network is Jesus. And the spiritual network, it doesn't have drop calls. And God can give you a video message. He can give you a vision or a dream. He can speak to you audibly. Now, I've never heard God's audible voice. And thank God, because some in the Bible said it sounded like thunder. Now, but say, God knows how to speak to me. And, you know, we all learn different ways. So, but God knows exactly how to communicate to you. Okay? So, he reveals the things that he has prepared for us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, and if your Bible, it has it a capital. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is God's research and development department? He searches the deep things of God. After all, he's really the author of this book. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit of God, and they wrote as they were inspired. Okay? So the Spirit, he searches the things of God. He knows exactly what you've been assigned to do. He knows exactly why you're created. He knows exactly why you are here at this time. Say, I am created on purpose. For a divine purpose. How many know that God had plans for John even before he was born? He told Zechariah exactly what John was going to do. Same thing about Samson. God knew exactly what you were going to do even before you got here. You came equipped with a divine plan from God to solve a problem on this earth. But you got to connect with the Spirit in order to find out what that is. Okay? For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? See, your spirit is the real you. The Bible calls him the hidden man of the heart. All right? So there are some things in your heart that no one knows. Is that true? You got some things in your heart that no one knows until they're revealed? Okay? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received, not the spirit of the world. You know, that's important. God didn't give you the spirit of the world. Okay? So what did he give you? But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. How many know that God's given you some things? And notice, he gave them to you freely. Can you just hold your place here for just a minute and go to Romans 8:32? Oh my goodness. Look at Romans 8:32, and we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 2. But I want you to see Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us, how many things? Say, our God's a giver. There's nothing that God offers that he withholds from anyone who will believe in him. As long as you have faith in God, you can access everything that God offers to the world. Okay? All it requires is for you to have faith. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, so we've received the Spirit of God. See, I have God's Spirit. And the reason we have God's Spirit, so that we can know what's been given to us. How many of you learned the ABCs without being taught? You just woke up and you were a master of the alphabet. Is there anybody here that learned the ABCs without being taught? Okay. If you're going to learn what God has made available to you, you're going to need a teacher. You're going to need someone to show you, someone to bring understanding, someone to reveal. Hey, you know, how many has ever been on a guided tour? A guided tour means you have a guide, and this guide points out important information or historical information or facts along the journey, okay? And this is what the Holy Spirit does. Well, I thought we were talking about the mind of Christ. We're going to get there. So we've received the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us. If you don't know what's been given to you, you can't use it. If you don't know that you've been healed or that God wants you healed, it's hard to get healed if you don't know that. If you don't know it, you can't access the information. If you have a lock on a car that has a, if you have a lock on a box that has a combination and you don't know that combination, you can't get in there, can you? You've got to know the combination, okay? Oh, praise God. Lord, help me. Okay, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The standard for every gift from God is the Word of God. All right? Everything that God gives you will be found in His Word. And you can compare spiritual things with spiritual. Did you know that Jesus said, "The words that I speak are life and they are spirit"? John 6:63. All right. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. What is a natural man? A natural man is someone that his five senses govern his behavior. If it feels good, do it. But you could be doing something wrong even though it feels good. Isn't that right? Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe unless I can feel his wounds." Esau, I don't have time to go into it, but according to Hebrews 12, the Bible calls Esau a fornicator because he despised his birthright. He is the poster child of the natural man campaign. Okay? Esau was a person who lived for the moment. He was hungry, and he wanted, and Jacob was making some stew, and he said, "I want the stew." And Jacob said, "Give me your birthright." He said, "What's my birthright to me? I'm hungry. I got to satisfy this craving now." But when you despise your birthright, you lose your blessing. But Esau is the example of a natural man. Okay? Samson, even though he was anointed by God, he was living in the natural caused him to fall. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. How do you judge things if you're spiritual? Does it line up with what God said? If an angel appears to you, Paul said, if an angel or someone else speaks another gospel, don't receive it. Cults have been started because an angel appeared to them. See, because when you get apart from the Word of God, you get apart from the very thing that holds everything together. I mean, you got to have both the Word and the Spirit. You know, if all you have is Word and no Spirit, you're going to dry up. But if you have all Spirit, woo, and no Word, you're going to blow up. But you need the Spirit and the Word together to grow up. Okay? So when you're spiritual, you're going to judge as to whether or not is that in God's Word. You know, when I was a young believer, before I knew what God had called me to do, I was kind of a thorn in people's sides. Because we'd go out, in my hometown, there were 3 truck stops that were open 24 hours every day. You could go and sit and have coffee for $1 for hours. You know, and by the time you're done, sometimes you're shaking, you know, if you drink caffeinated coffee. Anyway, we'd sit around the table, and people would discuss, they'd say, "Well, I'm believing God for this." And I would say, without even knowing what my call was then, I would say, "Well, what scripture are you standing on?" And they'd be like, "Huh? Well, how do you know God wants you to have it? How do you know it's His will? Did you know that the Bible is God's will?" So if you're believing God for something and you're not standing on the scripture, you're probably not going to receive it. Faith has to have something to stand on, and you've got to stand on the Word of God. All right? So when I would ask that question, people would kind of look at me funny, like I was a thorn. Little did I know that my call would be to help people find their inheritance in God's Word. So if you wonder why I point you to Scriptures, it's because that's what God called me to do. Now, look at verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has known the mind of the Lord? God, I can't know your mind. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, really? Listen to the next part of the verse. That he may instruct you. But we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Who can know the mind of the Lord? Those that have the mind of Christ. Well, what is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now I want you to see something. Look at verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was in Christ Jesus? When he was baptized at the Jordan, God spoke from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And John saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And we know from the Gospel of John that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. But we have a measure. But how does the mind of Christ get in you? According to that verse, let it. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you have the mind of Christ. You have to let his mind be in you. You have to let, you can think like God thinks. You can think God's thoughts. Because God will reveal truth to you. How many has had truth revealed to them? You know, God showed you something, or God spoke to you something, and it resonated in you. God is showing you what he wants you to have. He's showing you what he wants you to do. He's showing you something. And you have to let that be in you. You have to embrace it. You know, I thought of Noah. God said, Noah, I want you to build a boat because it's going to rain. Noah did not know what rain was. If you read Genesis 6 or 5, it says there was a mist that would come up from the earth and it would water the earth. It did not rain. I don't have time to go into it tonight, but you can look it up. God said it was going to rain. Noah had never experienced rain. He didn't know what rain was. Now, if you're going to do what God's called you to do, it's going to require you to think like God. Noah started building the boat. Hammering, nailing. Do you think he was persecuted? Do you think he was criticized? Do you think he was scorned and made fun of and laughed at? See, if you don't think like God thinks in that situation, you're going to quit. You're going to give up. What does it mean to think like God? It means to have faith. It means to be perseverant. It means to endure. It means to follow through. It means to be faithful. You know, when God calls you to do whatever, you're going to have to think like he thinks, because you're going to have to trust him, because attacks will come. How many know that Nehemiah? He had to think like God thinks. He saw the wall that was broken down, and he wept. He began to pray, and he felt like God wanted him to rebuild it. And he had opposition. Even though he was doing a good thing, people opposed Sanballat and Tobias and the other guy. They opposed Nehemiah. If he didn't think like God thought, he wouldn't have finished the work. See, when you don't think like God thinks, you'll give in to your natural tendencies, and the natural tendency is to give in to pressure, to give in to fear, to be intimidated. Isn't that the natural tendencies? You know, it's a natural tendency when someone hits you to hit back. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. It's a natural tendency to hate those who hate you. But Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemy. I don't want to love my enemy. Well, that's the flesh, but you can do it according to the Spirit when you have the mind of Christ. God can reveal to you truth about how he loves you. And you can take that revelation and you can share that with someone else. That revelation equips you to do what God wants you to do. Because we have the mind of Christ. See, I have the mind of Christ. You can think God's thoughts. You can do God's works. Jesus said in John 14, the work that I do, you shall do also. But greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. He said, I'm done. I've given you all I need. I'm retiring. Of course, he didn't retire. He's praying. But he is not physically walking the earth, but he is walking the earth through you and I because we are the body of Christ. He's the head and we are the body. When God wants to touch someone on earth, he'll use another person to do it. When God wants to bless someone on earth, he'll use a person to do it. When God wants to support his church, he will use his people to do it. We have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, there was a difference between the way Moses thought and the way Pharaoh thought. Moses, the Bible says in Numbers 12:3, he was the meekest man on earth. He was humble. He trusted God. Pharaoh was proud. Pharaoh was hard-hearted. You know, Queen Vashti thought a lot different than Queen Esther. Queen Vashti lost her job. Esther got her job because she thought differently. How you think will affect you, positively or negatively. That's why we have to renew our minds. Because before Christ, the devil, the big bully, he beat you up. He would tell you that you're not going to do this, you can't do that, you'll never amount to anything. And those were all lies. And if you believe the lie, then you're going to be bound. But if you accept the truth, you're going to be made free. You can either believe the lie or you can accept the truth. And if you've been bound by a lie, you need to replace it with something else. That's why the Bible says you have to renew your mind. See, the mind of Christ doesn't come automatically, but as you renew your mind, how do you renew your mind? You find out who you are in Christ, what he's given you, what he's called you to do, and as you find these things out, then you're replacing those things. It gives you a new image. Don't you feel better with a new outfit that fits and looks nice? Doesn't it do something to you? Okay. You know, Romans 8 talks about the difference between a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. The carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. And you have the ability to set your mind just like you set a thermostat. At our house, I set our thermostat. I set it at a certain temperature. I don't have to set it again. Once it's set, if it goes lower, The furnace kicks on, and it brings it up to that setting. If it goes higher, the furnace shuts off until the temperature, but it regulates the setting. We've got to set our minds on Christ. We've got to set our minds on eternal things. We've got to set that way. Whenever something changes, if our circumstance changes, then something has to shut down until it gets to the level, or if it needs it, then something has to kick in to bring it up. Amen? Sometimes Christians need a kick in the cants. The Bible doesn't say I can't. The Bible says I can do all things. You know, really, miracles come in cans. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. Go to John 15, 15. I'm just going to look at these scriptures up here, okay? Because it would take too much time to turn to these. John 15, 15. See, having the mind of Christ is based on revealing truth, okay? Henceforth, this is Jesus talking here, I call you not servants. Now, if Jesus doesn't call you servants, we shouldn't call ourselves servants. For the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. Say, I'm a friend of Jesus. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have what? See, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he reveals the Father to you. And the primary way that God is revealed in our lives is through the Word. Now, there are other ways, of course, but that's the primary way. Okay, go to John 16, 18. John 16, 18. I'm sorry, 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, did he come? What is he going to do when he comes? He will guide you into what? Some of the truth? He'll guide you into all truth. Let me just use you as an example, Caleb, all right? I'm going to be the Holy Spirit, and you're a person who just got born again. I'm just going to take you by the hand. Look at what we got here. See, I'm going to bring you into all truth. Oh, here. Oh, you got to see this, man. This is so awesome. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's all yours. All right? Thanks. He's going to guide you into all truth. Not just part of the truth. You're going to get the whole story. All right? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Who's he going to hear it from? The Father. That shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, the first time that, it was one of the few times that the Lord, I knew something was going to happen before it happened. God sent me to Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee for two things. To get involved with PFC, which it stands for Pioneers for Christ, and to meet my future wife. And God used PFC to bring us together. Except when we knew each other then, we kind of butted heads. We didn't get together till afterwards. But my very first meeting I went to in PFC. I was sitting on the front row. First time I was ever in this meeting. And I knew that I was going to be president of that group. I'm sitting here, and just in my mind, it's like I knew. Guess what? Two semesters later, well, next semester I became vice president. The semester after that I became president. God was showing it to me before it ever happened. Because that's how the mind of Christ operates. You ever hear a story of someone said, I shouldn't have gone there? I felt like I shouldn't go, but I went anyway. That was the Holy Spirit trying to get their attention. But they were so dull to the voice that they couldn't hear it. All right? And go to verse 14. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. For he shall receive of mine and show it to you. Who are you a joint heir of? That means whatever Christ gets, you get because you are a joint heir. You share equally in the inheritance. Is that good? You share equally in the inheritance. And in order to receive an inheritance, someone has to die. Did someone die? Did they write a will? And last, they wrote an Old and New Testament. He upgraded, he changed his testament before he died. So that way he can include you in it. But it's the showing of what is his. That's how the mind of Christ operates. It works through revelation. Okay? You have two more minutes? Who give me two more minutes? 2, 4, 6, 8. No, just kidding. All right. Go to John 17, verse 6. 17:6. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. In other words, the word manifest means to show. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came to show us God's will. Do you remember when the man with the withered hand? Or was it the leper? I always get them mixed up. But, oh no, it was the leper. The leper came to him and said, Lord, I know that you are able to deliver me, but will you? And what did Jesus do? Jesus touched him and said, I will. That's a revelation of what he came to do. He showed that leper that not only is he able, but he's willing to do it for him. And he was healed immediately. And you gave them me, and they have kept your word. Okay? Go to John 14, 21. John 14, 21. He that has my commandments, do we have his commandments? Where do you keep his commandments? In your heart. Oh, I keep them on the shelf. Wrong place. No, they need to be in your heart. That means they go with you wherever you go. Why? Because God's commands are alive. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, to discern our thoughts and intents of the heart. And if I talk any faster, I could be an auctioneer. Okay, he that has my commandments, is it enough to just have them? And keep them. You got to have them, and you got to keep them. You got to have them, you got to keep them. He it is that loves me. If you have his commandments and keep his commandments, you love him. How does the Lord know that you love him? Because you have his commandments and you keep them. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. Woo! When you have his commandments and keep them, God gets excited about you. I want to say it like this. That turns God on. That gets him excited. And then what's he going to do when he gets excited? And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That means his presence will come where you are. His presence will come on the scene. If you have his commandments and you keep them, that proves your love for him, and he'll love you, and he'll manifest himself to you. So let's say you're going through a hard time. You've been doing what you know to do. You've been going to church. You've been reading your Bible, but you're going through a hard time. And God knows that you love him because you've kept his commandments, and you have his commandments, and you keep them. Then you know what he's going to do? He's going to manifest his presence. Like he did with Peter when Peter was in prison. Did you know the angel had to wake him up? Peter, wake up. God wants to manifest his presence. And he'll manifest his presence to anyone that has his commandments and keeps them. And part of having his commandments and keeping them is having the mind of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit shows you. You know, you'd be like reading the Word of God, all of a sudden the Scripture jumps out at you. Woo! That's a revelation. So, we have the mind of Christ. You can think God's thoughts. You can do God's works. You can have God's blessings. All right, 30 seconds. Just some quick thoughts on the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the revelation of the mind of God to those who believe Him. To obey the call of God, I already said this, you must think like God thinks. You must think in terms of faith and possibilities. To follow God, you must think like He thinks. You must value Him more than anyone else. Come follow me. Okay. I mean, you got to value Him pretty high to stop what you're doing and follow Him when He says. To live like God wants you to live, you must think like He thinks. It's the application and the adherence to His Word and Spirit that will guide you in the way that you should go. So what has God shown you? The secret things belong to God, but the things He reveals belong to you. Deuteronomy 29:29. Don't worry about the secret things. Don't worry about what you don't know. Rejoice in what you do know. Walk in what you do know. If God says you're bold as a lion, act like a lion. Is that how a lion acts? I'm telling you, God wants to manifest Himself. You need a healing tonight? The healer is here. And when you have the healer, you have healing. You need forgiveness? The forgiver is here. He can make things right. When it comes to forgiveness, He wants to make things right in you first before He works it out in the other person. If you want a good marriage, don't think about what your spouse needs, think about what you need. In a marriage, you become the best person you can be, and God will strengthen your marriage. There are people who came in here with needs tonight. You need a manifestation of the presence of God. You need a touch from the Master's hand. Because only His touch can bring about the music. God wants to touch you tonight. God wants to fill you tonight. God wants to heal you tonight. Does healing belong to you? So then all you have to do then is receive it. Believe it and receive it. You don't have to be good enough. Because if you try to be good enough, you'll never amount to it. Because it's not by good works. It's by faith. It's not by you having a position. It's by faith in Christ Jesus. It's by putting your trust in Jesus alone. That's the only way that we can receive what we need from God. So if you're here tonight, I believe God's presence is here. I believe God's power is here. And I believe God wants to touch you tonight. So if you need prayer, I want to invite you to come up right now. And if you don't need prayer, then that's okay. Then just pray for these. Amen? God's power is here. If you can play that last song there, Jeffrey, that'd be great. If you have to go, I understand you can go. That's fine. God's not nervous. Amen? God is very cool. He's relaxed. Nothing shakes God. Nothing moves God. You know what? There are some things that have tried to come in to steal your joy. Because if He steals your joy, He's got your strength. Because the Bible says the joy